This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on December 20th, 2012. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
December 20th, 2012 will now come to order. Welcome to the last public meeting of the year. I'd like to recognize my father, who came here this morning from Boca Raton, Florida. He's in the audience. Dick Critchfield, thanks, Dad, for coming. I appreciate it. He skated in on the last meeting. And we also have Tom Hicks with us this morning from House Administration. And welcome back to Bob Biersack. So we have a couple of old friends here today. Excellent. The first item on the agenda, and of course, Ken Doyle, who we get to see. Ken, good to see you. Wouldn't be a meeting without Ken. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for December 6, 2012. Madam Vice Chair, do you have a motion?
I do, Madam Chair, and it is a pleasure to welcome your father. I wish that I could have had my father with me at any of my meetings here, so it's nice to welcome somebody's father. I move approval of the minutes for the meeting of December 6, 2012, as set forth in agenda document number 12-87.
Thank you. All those in favor? Aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it 6-0. Thank you. And, Madam Vice Chair, we also have a few late submitted documents.
Darn it again. Okay. We'll try and be better on that next year. We'll try anyway. I move that we waive the rules on the timely submission of agenda documents so that we may consider agenda documents number 12-83B, 12-83C, 12-86, 12-89, and 12-88.
Thank you. But as we pointed out before, many of these documents are just some edits from ones that we've had on the public record, in some cases for a matter of weeks, because we've been discussing, at least for today's meeting, a couple of advisory opinions. We discussed them at the last open meeting.
And we probably wouldn't get too many comments on our future meeting dates.
Right, right. Yes, yes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it 6-0. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2012-35, Global Transaction Services Group. I believe we have Mr. Michael Wolford on the phone, the President and CEO. Mr. Wolford?
Yes.
Mr. Wolford?
Yes.
Good morning. I will turn you over to Chair Hunter. Good morning, Mr. Wolford. Thank you for joining us again. For the public's knowledge, Mr. Wolford was here with us at the last public meeting, and now he's home in Omaha trying to avoid a snowstorm. Is it snowing there this morning?
Yes, it snowed all night.
Oh, boy.
So we are white Christmas.
Oh, good, good. All righty, well, thank you for joining us. We have a presentation by Mr. Esterhuyden from the Office of General Counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. Before you are two agenda documents, which were held over from the December 6th open session, 12-83 and 12-83A, and new agenda documents 12-83B and 12-83C, which collectively consist of four draft advisory opinions responding to a request from Global Transaction Services Group, Incorporated. GTSG has developed a process to allow wireless users to make contributions of $50 or less using text messages and the wireless user's credit or debit card. A contributor will initiate a contribution by sending a text message and will complete the transaction by entering certain information into a web form accessed on his or her mobile phone. GTSG will use the mobile phone number used to initiate the contribution to derive the wireless user's name and address and will then provide that information to the recipient political committees. After receiving the funds from the credit or debit card company, GTSG will track the funds by unique keyword and place the funds into separate bank accounts for each recipient political committee. GTSG asks whether it may process the proposed contributions using the wireless user's credit or debit card and forward them to recipient political committees. Drafts A, C, and D conclude that GTSG may process the contributions and forward them to the recipient political committees, but differ as to the reason. Draft B concludes that GTSG may not process the contributions as proposed in the original request and forward them to the recipient political committees. We received no comments on the request and one comment from the requester on drafts A and B. Thank you, and I would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Hyden. Are there any questions or comments? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, this is a question for Mr. Wofford. We sent you last night, and I apologize for our not getting it to you sooner, draft D. And I wanted to ask if you had time to read that and if it is accurate in all of the facts.
Yes, I read it last night, and I reread it this morning, and it is, I feel, an accurate description of our discussion.
You said that's an accurate description of our discussion?
Yes, our various drafts and answers and questions back and forth. Yes, it's an accurate summary of the solution that we are asking for permission.
Thank you, Mr. Wofford. It's Ellen Weintraub again. Just wanted to confirm that we had the facts right this time, because I think we were a little bit confused at the last meeting, and I'm pleased to say that the commissioners have had some conversations and we've traded some edits back and forth. Draft D is actually, we debated calling it revised draft C. It's very similar to a draft that we sent you earlier, but we made a few additional tweaks. And I think we now have consensus on a yes answer for you, which is probably good news for you. So I'm prepared to support draft D, and if anybody else has anything to say, I'm happy to hear it, but I'm also prepared to make a motion.
Sounds like a motion might be in order.
All right. In that case, I move that we approve agenda document number 12-83C, which is draft D, a draft answer to Global Transaction Services Group, Inc. in AO 2012-35, and authorize counsel to make any technical and conforming edits.
Dad, we always do that after the every.
It's a new thing for next year.
Yeah, we usually dance.
Each commissioner will have their theme music when they make a motion.
Okay. You don't need to identify voices.
There you go.
It's like ringtone.
Yes, there you go. All right, well, you got the motion in right before the music, so all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Excellent. We're going to take a brief moment to get Mr. Brian Tyson on the phone. He is the lawyer for Yamaha Motor Corporation, and then we'll proceed to that advisory opinion.
Mr. Tyson. Mr. Tyson, this is Sean Worth. Are you on the line?
Good morning. Yes, I am.
Thank you very much. I'll turn you over to Chair Hunter.
Good morning, Mr. Tyson. Thank you for joining us again. We appreciate it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for letting me appear by phone.
Thank you. Okay, we will move on to this advisory opinion, draft advisory opinion 2012-37. We have a presentation from Mr. Buckley of the Office of General Counsel.
Thank you, Chair Hunter. Good morning, Commissioners. Before you is agenda document 12-84, which was held over from the December 6th open session. The document contains two draft advisory opinions that respond to requests submitted on behalf of the Yamaha Motor Corporation USA. Yamaha asks whether it may establish a separate segregated fund and whether it may solicit contributions to that fund from certain of its dealers and service centers. Both drafts conclude that Yamaha may create an SSF. The drafts differ, however, on whether the SSF may solicit Yamaha's dealers and service centers. Draft A concludes that Yamaha's SSF may not solicit contributions, while Draft B concludes that Yamaha's SSF may solicit contributions. Since the drafts were first discussed, the Commission has received one additional comment on them. I will be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Buckley. Are there any questions or comments? Madam Vice Chair.
I think we had a little bit of a, it's probably pretty obscure for someone listening on the phone. We had a little bit of a quiet back and forth about who was going to talk first. I had thought that I was going to support draft A, and I had been focusing really on the second question of whether who can be solicited. And draft A on question two still represents my point of view on that. We had some discussion on this issue at the last meeting. But this morning I had a little bit of a change of heart, although it's sadly not going to do the requester any good, because the issue that I had a change of heart on is question one. The issue that's not in front of us today, my concerns deal with an issue that is technically not in front of us today, and that is the issue of corporate spending and when it might be appropriate and legal for the domestic subsidiary of a foreign corporation to use corporate funds in American elections. The issue of corporate expenditures obviously had not been raised ever before 2010 and the Citizens United decision, and which really, in a variety of ways, was a watershed opinion. And I think some of us had hoped that we might be able to address those issues about foreign nationals in light of Citizens United in a rulemaking. I think that right now it's in a very gray area because there have been no advisory opinions. There's never been a question about it posed to the commission. There have been no judicial decisions addressing that particular question. I think I've seen things written about what people assume to be the law in this area, but I think the law is actually quite unclear and really requires a rulemaking. Some of us had hoped to have that rulemaking. We've been unsuccessful so far in getting that started. But this is the season of hope, and hope springs eternal that at some point we might be able to do that. In light of the fact that we haven't been able to do that yet, this would be the first advisory opinion concerning the issue of domestic subsidiaries of foreign corporations post-Citizens United, and I think I'm not going to be willing to support the answer to question one, which is actually the same in both draft A and draft B, until we have an opportunity to fully flesh out those issues in a rulemaking.
Any other comments? Commissioner Walther?
I've always been kind of, the conservative member of the commission on this issue of foreign investment, so I look at this from the point of view of even my history on prior advisory opinions when we're talking about SSFs. I still hold those views, and I join the position of Commissioner Weintraub, Vice Chair.
Any other comments? Commissioner Peterson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support draft B. After reading the information that's been submitted by the requester, the conversation we had last time, even though this isn't the typical franchise relationship, I think that the facts in this case and affiliation analyses are always very fact-intensive, do demonstrate that there is sufficient control and direction that Yamaha extends over their dealers and service centers to demonstrate that there is affiliation. And for that reason, I will support draft B when motions are in order.
Thank you. Any other comments? Commissioner McGann?
Can I ask the requester a question?
Yes, Commissioner.
Hi. Where are you headquartered?
The Yamaha Motor Corporation is headquartered in California, the USA division.
Any other questions or comments? Commissioner McGann.
Might as well put this out of its misery. I move that the commission adopt draft B.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
No.
No.
The motion fails 3-3. My understanding is, are there any other motions? There's no other motions at this time. So, unfortunately, Mr. Tyson, that the draft advisory opinion did not pass with the requisite 4 votes. Commissioner Peterson, excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to I heard from the Vice Chair and Commissioner Walther, but I just wanted to see if there was any interest from Commissioner Bowerly on question one or whether or not that's a dead letter as well.
Sorry, I'm a little under the weather today, so I'm
I think that's probably a common thing with many of us.
Yeah, I think we're all sick. But no, I share the concerns expressed by my colleagues, so I won't be voting. I wouldn't vote for a motion that just isolated one question.
Just wanted to inquire. Thanks.
So there weren't the requisite 4 votes to approve an advisory opinion, so the Office of General Counsel will send the appropriate letter notifying you of that. But thank you very much for your time, and we appreciate your asking the question.
Thank you very much, Commissioners.
Thank you. The next matter on the agenda is the itemization of ultimate payee of committee disbursements. Mueller, do you have a presentation?
I do have a brief presentation.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Hunter, members of the Commission. Before you today is Agenda Document 1286, which is a request for legal guidance from the Office of the General Counsel and the Office of Compliance pursuant to Directive 69. The report presents 3 scenarios regarding the disclosure of the ultimate payee of disbursements reported as memo entries on disclosure reports when the disbursement to a vendor aggregates to more than $200. We have recommended that the Commission clarify that disclosure of the ultimate payee is required in each of 3 particular scenarios: staff reimbursements, when a committee staff person or candidate pays for a committee expense out of personal funds and is later reimbursed; candidate in-kind contributions, when a candidate makes an in-kind contribution to his or her authorized committee by paying for a committee expense out of personal funds and is then not reimbursed by the committee. And then the third scenario is committee credit card payments, when a committee reports a disbursement to pay its credit card bill, but then the vendors that provided the goods and services reflected on that bill would have to be disclosed as memo entries on disclosure reports. We reached this conclusion and found that existing guidance could benefit from further clarification and made recommendations regarding clarifications in commission publications. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Thank you. As noted, Directive 69, which was adopted by the commission in July of 2010, permits the staff to ask the commission questions of law. And sometimes we consider these questions in executive session because often they're tied to specific committees or specific facts that are appropriate to be discussed in closed session and not in public. This one's a little bit different because the memo is more generic. It doesn't depend on facts specific to any particular committee, and it's more based on things that have arisen in the context of RAD reviewing a number of different committees' reports. So we all found it appropriate to put this memo on the public record and talk about it here today. I think we all are also all in agreement that we would like the Office of General Counsel to prepare a guidance document for public comment. The memo is close, I think, to what we will end up putting out, but many of us thought it appropriate to have something that was a little bit more appropriate to elicit public comment before we adopt something giving the public guidance on what we're going to be doing in this area, in these areas. Does anybody else have any questions or comments? Okay. So the Office of General Counsel will do that. We anticipate placing that document on a public meeting agenda early in the new year. Okay?
Well, okay.
Thank you very much. The next matter on the agenda is request for comment on the Commission's enforcement process. So we had a number of things happen in the Commission over the past several years regarding our enforcement process and a number of other processes here at the Commission. I think with regard particularly to this document, some of the discussion began at the House Administration Oversight hearing last November. And then we had a couple of public forums earlier this year where we discussed some of these issues and decided that there were at least several issues that we wanted to highlight to the public and request comment regarding the enforcement process. The Office of General Counsel is in the midst of drafting a new enforcement manual, and some of the questions in here may be relevant to that process. We welcome comments, as the document says, on the entire enforcement process, but the document is focused on eliciting comments on two particular areas. One, the pre-RTB process that the Commission does here, and RTB, as you know, is reason to believe. I almost forgot because we never say the full. We always say RTB. But whether or not the Office of General Counsel can look at other documents outside of the context of the complaint that's filed in a matter before recommending reason to believe to the Commission. So that's one set of questions that we have in the document. And the second set is regarding civil penalties. We've listed the opening offer amounts based on formulas previously approved by the Commission in this document. And we ask public comment on those formulas and if there are maybe other ways of looking at how to set the civil penalties here at the Commission. I want to thank in particular Commissioner Walther for working with us on this document. Really appreciate your help. You added a lot of very positive things to the document, and you're always it's always a pleasure to work with you on a lot of these procedures, so thank you very much. And thank you to OGC for refining the document as well. The document asks for comments by Friday, March 15th. Any other comments or questions? Is there a motion? Oh, Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to be voting against the motion. I've got no issue with engaging with the public on issues about our enforcement. In fact, I was the first chair back the last time I was chair. What goes around comes around, including me. I was the first chair to convene a hearing at the agency specifically on enforcement and to solicit public comment on it, so I don't have any problem with our doing that. I I think we have some serious problems in enforcement right now, and I sadly do not believe that putting this document out for comment is going to fix them. But I would be happy to be proved wrong. So I will vote against this, but like I said, hope springs eternal.
Commissioner Bowerly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As the Chair noted, we've spent a great deal of time on new procedures over the past few years, some of which have been very useful to ensuring that our process is fair, which is important here at the agency. But I'm afraid that some of them have appeared to be procedure for procedure's sake. And my concern, particularly with this document, is that we should not be focusing on the procedure to the extent, to the exclusion of substantive changes that we should be making through rulemakings, and we sadly have not been able to focus on that. With respect to the document itself, I want to note and appreciate the leadership of Commissioner Walther in making sure that this document is even-handed, and there are a number of statements that I do agree with in the statement. For example, on page 34, it notes that the Commission recognizes that ADR tends to focus more on behavioral remedies, but the importance of securing civil penalties to modify behavior should not be understated. It also notes the Commission's practice of considering material not specifically referenced or included in a complaint is specifically supported by case law on page 11. So while there are some things that I agree with in here, it's more about the fact that we need to be focusing on substance. No one can say that the FEC's greatest failure is its lack of procedures or its unwillingness to listen to the regulated community with respect to procedure. I'm voting against this document because it's time to deal with substance.
Any other comments? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be supporting the document. I think that, as the Chair rightfully pointed out, I think that this is the latest stage in an ongoing process that the agency has had and going on for almost 10 years, where it periodically reviews its processes and its the way that it's handling, whether it's the enforcement process, the advisory opinion regulation, the audit. I think that this has been a very healthy thing for the agency to undertake. I think that it's resulted in greater procedural fairness and greater efficiencies. And I think that these are in response to specific developments that have happened, as she mentioned, the hearing that was in the Committee on House Administration last year. And there are issues that have arisen frequently regarding what is appropriate and what is not at the in the stage prior to finding reason to believe in the enforcement process, and also now that the civil our penalty schedules have gone public, I think that that's a subject ripe for continuing discussion as well. I don't think that this is meant to, and I certainly know the Chair believes this as well, that this is not meant to distract or to undermine our ability to look at the substantive regulations that need to be done. But I think that these are important questions to ask. I think that the discussion has already gotten underway with the roundtables that we had earlier this year. And so I look forward to hearing what the public has to say on these particular issues and, in response to that, modifying whatever procedures may be necessary in light of those comments.
Thank you. Is there a motion or comment?
Not sure.
Oh, sorry, Commissioner Walther.
I'm going to support it. I agree with the Vice Chair that we are leaving on the table some important issues. And unfortunately, we don't always get our way on this commission. So we have to work on some of these that as they come to us. And I think the issues that are in here are very important, regardless of the fact that they're not all the issues that ought to be before the public in a specific way. Here and before, and hopefully, as the Vice Chair says, we'll be able to reach agreement on some of those as well. But I think whatever we can do is better than doing nothing, and I think these are important issues. I'm glad to see them subject to the debate. They're perennial issues that are thorny to all of us, so a fresh look never hurts to see what the public says, and if we can improve our process by education, great. There is a provision in there that I'd like to call the attention of the public, and that is the one that says other issues. And it says the Commission welcomes comment on other issues relevant to these enforcement policies and procedures, including any comments concerning on how the FEC might increase the fairness, transparency, efficiency,
and effectiveness of the commission. With that statement, the public is free to comment on any aspect of our enforcement procedure that it would like to comment on, and I call that to everyone's attention so that hopefully we can, from this, get any input that any public or member of the election bar or people who are subject to our jurisdiction would like to make. And we can take that into consideration. The chair has agreed to that. I think it's worth worth doing, even though we can't agree on the specific areas that we've had, deadlocks on and concerns about in the past.
Thank you. Your motion or any other comments? Commissioner McGann?
I move adoption of agenda document number 12-89.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion passes 4-2. Thank you very much. The next matter on the agenda is the election of officers. Is there a nomination for the office of chair? Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Before I make the nomination, we go through this process every year, every one of us, has gotten a chance to serve as chair, and it in many ways is a thankless duty. There are a lot of administrative responsibilities and some other headache-inducing things that come along with doing it that take place behind the scenes. And I just want to, first of all, commend Chair Hunter for the excellent job that she's done this year. I've known Chair Hunter for a number of years, and she's always dedicated to the work that she's tasked with accomplishing. She's organized, insistent on making sure that we're all on the same page as to what's going to happen, and is very determined in order to try to accomplish that which she is seeking to accomplish. And she's throughout it all always been a great friend, and she's been a true credit to the agency as she served this year. And I know that No greater Christmas gift could come than to actually be relieved of these duties at this time of year. So I congratulate you on actually coming to the end of your tenure.
Thank you.
So, but thanks again for the wonderful job that you've done this year. I would like to move to nominate Vice Chair Ellen L. Weintraub to serve as chair for the year 2013. It was once said by F. Scott Fitzgerald that there are no second acts in American lives. That may be true in most cases, but not in this one, as this will be the second time that the vice chair will be serving as the FEC chair. She served in 2003, and which she had the distinction of being here basically probably right after you turned on the lights in your office for the first time, being elected to being the chair. So she dove right in and took on those responsibilities very soon after joining the agency. So the vice chair assumes the responsibility of being chair with eyes wide open about the rigors and rewards that come with serving as chair. Before joining the FEC, the vice chair was of counsel at the law firm of Perkins Coie, where she served as a member of its political law group. Prior to that, she was a counsel to the Ethics Committee for the U.S. House of Representatives. She received her bachelor's degree from Yale College and her law degree from Harvard University, and she and her husband are the proud parents of three lovely children. And I always like to point out we're now in our over 4 years of co-teaching a number of workshops at the educational conferences that are sponsored by the FEC, and we've co-taught a number of workshops for, I guess, going on 5 years now, and that's something that I've always enjoyed doing with the vice chair and look forward to continuing to do in the future. I have no doubt that next year the vice chair will carry out her responsibilities with distinction and with great concern over what's in the best interest of the agency. And for that reason, I'm pleased to make the motion to nominate Vice Chair Weintraub to be chair for 2013, and that at the appropriate time I will be happy to support that.
Thank you. Any comments on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes 5-0. Thank you very much. Is there a nomination for the office of vice chair? Commissioner Walther.
I'm sorry, thank you very much. It's a privilege to nominate Donald McGann as vice chair of the commission. This is his first term as vice chair, even though he's already served as chair. So it should be a fairly rudimentary, easy position for you to fulfill. And he and I joined, I rejoined, and he joined the commission when he was chair and I was vice chair. And I enjoyed, we had a lot going on at that time because we'd been in the dark for 6 months. So we had the backlog and a learning experience to go through. And so it was my first opportunity to watch Don in that leadership position, and I thought an awful lot got accomplished in a very short period of time. And he only had 6 months as chair, and then he was off. So you have a full year as vice chair. And I will not go into his pre-FEC history. Most of us know it very well, except to mention that, after all, he is a graduate of the University of Notre Dame. Therefore, we're co-alumnus. Makes him special to me. And especially now in this moment of glory that we have, hopefully it won't be too short in our non-academic capacity. But I look forward very much to working with you as vice chairman next year. And I know I'll do a great job working with the new elected chair.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries 5-0. Thank you. Congratulations to the vice chair and to Commissioner McGann.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
As a point of privilege, I'd like to just thank the chair, outgoing chair, for a very good year. We've had a tough time reaching agreement on a lot of issues, but that we would have agreed on I think she's done a lot to try and build a consensus whenever possible in her quiet, very persistent way. And she really can, move what appear to be rocks sometimes by this gentle, persuasive, never-ending effort to take one eensy pit of appearing weakness and drive it home. And so I commend you on that. And it's always been a pleasure to have it happen to you. You kind of think this is pretty good. And but really, it's been a very nice year, the way you conduct yourself professionally under difficult times, and working with us always in a friendly, forthright way, and sometimes surprisingly effective, not because of you, but because of the uphill battle it sometimes seems to be. So I welcome you as a playing commissioner for next year.
Thanks, Steve. All righty. The next item on the agenda is the future meeting dates for next year. Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it will be a new year, and we will again have to meet. So, in order that we may do that, I move approval of agenda document number 12-88, setting forth our meeting dates for the first half of the year. Although I warn my colleagues that if we run into a backlog situation, I may seek to add more dates to the agenda.
Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion passes 6-0. Thank you. It has been an eventful year at the FEC and for campaign finance law. There were record amounts of money raised and spent this election year. We've had a significant number of decisions in an ever-changing campaign finance environment, and a lot of our work this year and the future will be grappling with these difficult developments. Of course, our work can be contentious because we provide guidance and enforce the law while being mindful of the First Amendment's protection of political speech and participation in the political process. This presidential year was a record breaker in terms of money raised and spent and the volume of activity reported and disclosed by the agency. Our IT staff has said that we've received over 8.3 million pages of documents. The commission has processed over 70,000 documents, an astounding number that the agency puts online very quickly once the document is received. In enforcement, we received more complaints this year than any year in the last decade. So that'll be on the docket for all those meeting dates that we just approved for next year or the year after. Our litigators have participated in a number of significant cases involving a wide variety of Act and Commission regulations. Our policy shop has been very busy. The Commission has considered 39 advisory opinions requests this year. That's a lot. That's more than usual. And a lot of novel issues, including text messaging and contributions. The IT staff worked to launch a new disclosure portal and candidate committee viewer on the FEC webpage to give the public better access to data and more flexibility in how the data can be searched and viewed. And we've held a variety of conferences and seminars to promote voluntary compliance with the law. Thank you to the many dedicated employees who worked hard throughout the year, including the Secretary's office, who my office worked closely throughout the year to do the both open and executive meeting agendas. Thank you very much for your help. And to my office, Eric Brown, who's back in the audience, he's been working with me now since I came here about 4 years ago. Thank you, Eric. Rebecca Miller, who's sitting behind me, joined us this year. David Adkins, who we've borrowed from the Office of General Counsel. Eric Wang, who left earlier this year to go on to greener pastures, but he helped us at the beginning of the year and the past few years, and Troy McCurry as well. Thank you to all my office. They have been fabulous, and really it's a true pleasure to work with all of them. Thanks in particular to Tony Herman and Alec Palmer. We get the opportunity to meet with them often, and they've both been very professional. I genuinely appreciate your advice and counsel throughout the year. I enjoyed working with both of you very much. And to my colleagues, thank you for everything. We've had a lot of fun and a lot of spirited debates. It's been a rewarding year and a privilege to serve as chair. Thank you to everybody for your camaraderie and friendship. And I wish everybody a wonderful holiday season as I gavel out the last meeting of the year with my new gavel that my fellow commissioners gave to me on Tuesday. It says Chair 2012. It's a fancy little FEC seal on here. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. Are there any administrative matters to discuss, Mr. Palmer?
Madam Chair, there are no such matters.
Thank you. Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you.